Hello and welcome to the We Are Birmingham podcast. I'm Chris Golding.
I'm Matthew Elliott.
And we're not joined by the vegan tonight. We've given him the night off. He's got some, I think he said he got some loving to make with his partner, didn't he?
A watermelon or something. Some fruit or vegetable, I think he was making love to this evening. I'm not sure.
He's watching Dirty Dancing. Could watermelon be.
Yeah. With a watermelon.
No, the watermelon in Dirty Dancing. So I carried a watermelon, that thing.
So I was thinking more from the oh my God, I've forgotten the name of the film, but you know which one I mean.
American Pie?
That's it, yes.
But that's not a watermelon. That's a pie, an apple pie.
What was the watermelon from there?
Dirty Dancing. I'm pretty sure that you've mixed up two films or some dodgy porn that you've watched or something there. You've watched American Pie while shagging a watermelon or something.
I think we've established that is the vegan's vice and not one of mine.
Does love some fruit, to be fair.
Does love some fruit and some veg.
So, have you been? We've had a week off.
Has it been a week? It's been more than that. It's been 2 weeks, well, right?
Yeah, we've had a week off, but it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah, I've been. My brain is fried. I was on a 2-day training course last week back in England, and I had a delayed flight on the way there due to I was flying into Manchester. This was at the height of that escaped terrorist, and my flight was delayed going out because they had to evacuate Manchester Airport, which was I was quite excited about because my plane was just about to take off and it stopped, the engines went off, and then the captain, the pilot, said, it's been an evacuation at Manchester Airport. I'm going to have to sit tight for a few minutes to find out what's going on. So I was like, yes, I don't have to go to England to do 2 days of training. Because I really did not want to go to it. Anyway, 45 minutes later, they did eventually take off. And then on the way home on the Friday night, because everybody loves traveling back home on a Friday night, the plane that was supposed to be taking me home decided it wanted to break down and not work, so they had to call another plane in from Switzerland to come and get me. Not just me, everyone else as well.
Just private jet. Call a favour in from Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's private jet, yeah. 3-hour delay on that as well, so I didn't get back in the house on Saturday morning until about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, which was not the best start to my weekend, I'm going to be honest. I was very tired, and I think I'm still trying to catch up.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'm not really going to go into it. I had some bad personal news last week. Not the best, but moving on. Life throws obstacles at you to make you a stronger person. So
it does indeed.
Let's be stronger. Otherwise, same old. All good. Missing club football.
Yeah, I'm kind of not. My dad said to me last week, he was quite pleased to have a little bit of a break. And I thought about it, and I actually quite enjoyed not having to worry about it for the last week or so, just with the impact it may sometimes has on family life. And I haven't watched any internationals, paid no attention to any of that either. And it's actually been quite nice. So
I watched the England game last night, but I don't get into international football, especially with Southgate in charge. My opinions are out there on social media for everyone to see.
I'm not sure how much I really truly am bothered by it.
Do you support Northern Ireland now?
I do not, no. They're also quite terrible at present as well. So, no.
So should we look back on Millwall?
Oh, what a game.
It was very much
unforgettable.
I was going to say it was very much a Gary Rowett game of football. He I don't know what he does, but he has a knack of dragging teams down to his level and then beating them or getting something out of the game. And for a large portion of the game, I think it looked like we were going to be defeated.
It was classic route, wasn't it, as well? Went up early from a set piece. Very good free kick, although I think John Roddy probably could have done better.
Yeah.
Also,
definitely.
And I don't think enough was made of this. I don't think that was a foul. I think that was a great tackle by Kevin Long.
I've not seen it back. The game was sort of horrendous enough as it was. So watching it back.
Why would you want to watch it back?
Exactly.
I was folding clothes in the bedroom, watching it, and putting clothes away in the bedroom whilst watching it.
And that was more enjoyable for large portions.
It was on a par. The first half was pretty dreadful. Second half, we certainly looked a lot better. I think a draw was probably a fair result, but
I'd say one of the highlights of the first half for me was the Millwall fans singing, "Gary Rowett, your football's all right." And I thought, fair play to them. After the stick that he'd been getting earlier in the season, yeah. I thought that was quite witty for them. It was a game of relatively few chances. The missed penalty from Scott Hogan.
Dreadful penalty. You kind of knew he was going to miss as soon as he stepped up, didn't you? I think everybody felt the same.
On a run of goals as well. Two in two games. Steps up for the penalty, and now that confidence has completely gone.
So I completely understand him wanting to take the ball and take the penalty because he scored a couple of goals already. I mean, I think everybody in most people in the stadium probably felt like he was going to miss. My issue is, right, he's obviously not the best penalty taker we've got. And the person that took the penalty last time was Duke, who also is probably not the best penalty taker we've got. So who the hell is making a decision around who takes these penalties? Or is it just like on the spot decision?
It looked predetermined because I think once the penalty was given, Hogan stood on the spot. And I can't remember who it was, but they walked over to him with the ball and gave him the ball. So it looked like that was predetermined. Obviously, you mentioned then Duke took the one in the first game, the Leeds game. Spoke about it at the time, and maybe that was him taking charge and saying, look, this is on me. If I miss it, I can handle it. Hogan's very much not that type of person. He struggles with his confidence. It's shouldering anything like that is going to affect him. So I can't imagine it's that. Is it the manager saying, right, I'm old school, I want my striker to be taking penalties? Because if that's the case, don't do it.
He's an old school manager, is he? Either that's not. I don't think that's his.
He's not, but he might have certain things where it is. You don't know, do you? Well, until you know what the rationale behind it is. Stansfield scored a handful of penalties for Exeter last season. Let him take them. And he's shown he can finish. So,
speaking of which, another fantastic goal or another fantastic finish.
Yep. Lovely build-up play to that as well.
It was, yeah. It was very good. The through ball from...
Bakuna?
Bakuna. Who tried a few of them throughout the game and was unsuccessful. But that was a very, very nice ball.
Yeah.
And a fantastic finish, I thought. Probably had a chance to maybe nick it at the end as well, or one or two chances to nick it towards the end. But on the face of it, I think a draw was probably a fair result.
It was fair, in as much as they dragged us down to...
Also,
to
my prediction, wasn't it, as well?
Is that why it was fair? Is that why it was?
Yeah, it was fair because it was my prediction. I think. What did you think of Drame?
I was actually just going to come to that, actually. So, Drame I don't know how you say it.
I spoke to a Leeds fan. He said it's Drame.
Right, so okay, we'll go with that.
I work with a Leeds fan, and he's quite sad to see him go, actually.
As long as Kevin Broaddus hasn't told you how it's pronounced.
if ever I hear him on any TV channel, Blues TV, it gets turned off. Well, the sound gets turned off anyway, because I ain't putting up with that.
So coming back to the question, I thought he looked early on. He genuinely looked like he hadn't played
for a
football.
Long time.
Well, yeah, and he didn't look like he'd play. He looked like a young kid who was maybe making his debut in professional football. That's how he looked to me early on. Maybe his first couple of passes went astray, and that then knocked his confidence levels, and basically just he looked like a deer in the headlights for a long time. There were times where he just wasn't advancing into that space like Laird has been earlier in the season. Sanderson at one point was shouting at him to get higher up the pitch. I think Sunjic also had words with him about it. He didn't look confident. He didn't look settled at all.
He didn't look fit.
Match fit, match sharpness. But
which is no surprise, but must in that situation.
It was one of them, we sort of turned to each other and it's like, ideally, he wouldn't be coming into the team in this situation, but you probably do need to. And I was we were in discussion about it during the game, saying, you know, at halftime, do you take him off and put Bakuna back there and make some changes higher up the pitch? Because there were problems higher up the pitch as well where it just wasn't working. And ultimately then second half he settled down a bit. He still didn't look great going forward, but he looked more settled defensively. And it calmed down a little bit. I think a few people were giving him stick online and saying he was terrible, or he didn't look right, but you can't get on someone's back after that.
He had one training session with us, he trained with us the morning before or the day before. Obviously, done very well at Luton. He'd done very well at Cardiff. The Leeds fan I was speaking to at work, Kyle, he mentioned that he'd never really, whenever he played for Leeds, he never really looked very convincing. So there's maybe, might be something in that. But I think he played as a wing back, didn't he, for both Cardiff and Luton.
I was going to say on that point, from what Leeds fans said of him, there was a few comments from Leeds fans saying that his attitude didn't seem right. Now, if by that they're talking about his attitude in terms of body language, I could understand that, because like he looked, and I don't think that there's anything in it, but when he was walking around the pitch, he just looked like a bit uninterested, the way that he sort of holds himself. And I don't think that that is the case, but I think that
it's the way that
he holds himself. We'll find out anyway, won't we? He's going to be sticking around for a while.
I think people, or we all do it, read too much into the body language side of things.
Yeah.
Longello is another one that sometimes looks like that as well, but I don't think that's necessarily the case either. I know some people might disagree with that, including you.
When he came on, I thought he'd been on the pitch a couple of minutes and there were opportunities to break forward and he just didn't seem to...
He nearly set up the winner.
No, he did. But there were other opportunities where it was just like, he was just like, oh, I can't be asked for that. And maybe it is reading into someone's body language. And on the pitch, he probably genuinely thought, I'm not going to get to that.
We often see that, don't we? We can often look at it from the stands and think like, why hasn't someone gone for something? And body language wise, I think not just though the players have spoken about, but in general, I think fans in general can read too much into that, to be honest. So But yeah, as I say, 1-1, not a bad result in the end, in the grand scheme of things. And obviously a debut for Mr. Treme as well.
So at the end of the last podcast, we were talking about transfers and the transfer deadline day and transfer window, coming to a close. Put our predictions in for who we might sign. The vegan went for two. I think, did he go for a centre back and a striker?
Yes.
We both went for three, I think. And yes. I mean, I think we pretty much nailed it.
Covered it.
Yeah.
By using utility.
Yeah. I mean, but we have signed a utility player.
We have, yeah.
He can play centre back, right back, centre mid. I think you specifically mentioned centre mid. I sort of said utility.
Yeah. So Awu, who we weren't just sure what was going on because we'd heard all these people say, oh, he's in Birmingham for a medical and like nobody's seen him. And he wasn't here for a medical because he couldn't get here because of all the issues with the flights. But he got here, I think on the Saturday morning, I think he turned up eventually.
It would have been Friday, wouldn't it? He trained on Friday with Drame as well.
Yeah. So,
it was a mad one. I think we mentioned it before on the podcast. Like you've just said that we'd been told there's a medical booked. He's like the guy's coming in for a medical, but then it didn't happen.
Mm.
And obviously the reveal showed why, because the air traffic control not strike the issues, yeah. Meant that he couldn't get over. I would have thought that they'd have just got Tom Brady's jet, but apparently not.
Well, on that note, obviously I mentioned previously that he looks like he'll be as comfortable in centre midfield as he will as centre back. We don't need him to play right back now because we've got Treme, who we've already been speaking about, and obviously Laird, who hopefully will be fit for this weekend.
Yeah.
So keen to see where he does actually fit in eventually, because at this point in time, I'm not breaking up Sanderson and Long, and I'm not breaking up Sunjic and Bielik. So he's probably going to have to bide his time. You don't really want him to come in due to injury, and you don't really want him to come in due to a bad performance, do you? Because that probably means we've lost.
Yeah, and for now, we haven't got cup games either. So
I suppose what we could potentially do here is, or what they could potentially think about doing here is just to tighten things up in midfield. You know, if we are winning maybe on Saturday and we want to just take off one of the attacking midfielders and just drop Awu between the defence and Bielik and Sunjic.
Or bookings, of course.
Or bookings, yeah. So he will feature. He'll definitely feature. And it's a long old season, isn't it? And Eustace has said many times that he wants to utilise the whole squad, which, you know, he is actually doing at the moment because we have so many injuries.
Well, that's the thing. You sign so many players that have got an injury track record. You're probably going to use all of those players because they're all going to get injuries.
So my dog is barking in the background for some reason. He's upset about something.
Rocky just wants to be involved in the podcast, mate.
He does. Maybe we'll bring him along for one recording at some point, but not today. He can piss off.
The other one that we mentioned on the podcast as well was Ollie Burke. Sort of gave a little hint that was rearing its head again. And Julie signed at the very last minute, seemingly, even though he'd been in Birmingham for most of the day, and I think Blues thought it was done.
He was playing hide and seek, wasn't he? Wow. For a little while.
Apparently so. That part of me wonders that if that's what happened, that he's because I think we were told twice, like 3 o'clock and then 6 o'clock, that it was done, and then there was talk that he'd vanished, and part of me wonders whether that was maybe waiting to see whether there was a different offer that came in. Maybe he wasn't fully behind the project at that point, Maybe he had some filming to do with his missus or something.
How can you not be behind the project, though?
Oh, sorry, I forgot to whisper it, didn't I?
You did it wrong. Stop getting the project wrong, Chris.
Sorry, Craig.
How do you feel about it? Because I know the signing has divided people, and there's a lot of fans that have got quite strong opinions on it.
So it's another body bonus. That's a positive. It's a guy who's had 16 million pound moves in the past. Was it 20 million as well? Was there a 20 million, or was it just 16 or whatever?
He's accumulated quite a hefty transfer fee and it's fees in his time.
So he's gone for big money. Teams have seen something there previously that have made him go for big money. He's got experience in the Championship and above. If you Bundesliga is a higher level. Yeah. I don't think I don't see many negatives to having him in the squad. I can't currently see where he's going to break into the squad, because I can't see him playing wide. I can't see him at the moment coming in as a main striker, which he has done before. And I can't see him starting as a 10. So I think he's another one where he might have to bide his time. He might not get to see much of a starting role all season.
So he's quite physical. He's very, 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 very fast. I think he adds a bit of height up front. Yeah, technically is the area that I think most fans who have followed his career or like football in general are kind of concerned about his technical ability. That said, they must have seen something in him. And Joe Carnell, who was at Millwall as an analyst and is now at Blues, there must have been some form of recommendation there from him as well, I think. And he's very data-driven as well. So there's probably something in the stats there that they've looked into that think he could be a quite useful tool for us. I could actually see him, and I know we'll get on to the fact that we didn't sign a striker, although I think we did try, that because he's got physicality and pace, and he's a bit of an athlete, you could probably see him putting himself about and pressing from the front in the same way that Scott Hogan does. So I think they might want to use him there. They can use him wide on either side. And yeah, technically they could use him as a 10. The beauty is that he could probably play in multiple positions again. So it gives us a little bit of just cover in various places. So I'm not completely down on it.
Utility is the word of the day.
Utility is the word of the day, yeah. I think a lot of people are quite down on the signing, but I think a lot of people have been quite down on a number of signings we've made in the past that have turned out to work out pretty well for us. So, yeah, I'm hopeful that this coaching setup would know how to utilize his tool set. And I think he'll do all right. He's got a season to prove himself technically. So
yeah, I think as well, it's low risk, potentially high reward. But it's like, it's not a big gamble, is it? It's not costing an awful lot. There's no big transfer fee paid out for him. It's like, if it doesn't work out, we haven't lost out. It's not like Baggies were expecting a £16 million player and didn't get it. We're not expecting much. So whatever we get is a bonus.
And if he does play well, it's fairly obvious that Werder don't want him anymore. So if we want to keep him at the end of the season, I would imagine the fee's going to be pretty nominal. Speaking of keeping at the end of the season, obviously Iwu We'll get that right eventually as well.
Did you ever watch Doug when you were a kid?
I did, yeah.
Are you killer tofu? The beats. No?
I don't know why I've just done that. Anyway, cringe moment. I'm not quite sure why I did that. I was just trying to remember. I think I can remember the theme tune. I can't remember anything else about it, but the theme tune. So you can, there we go.
Big nose.
So I would, option to buy at the end of it as well, which I think all the reports seem to suggest 3 million euros. So it's got its option and not obligation. So yeah, happy enough with that, just in case he doesn't settle.
Like you say, you get to have a look at him before deciding that. And I imagine that there's probably some part of that was to do with financial fair play as well, that they might have liked to have bought him, but not had that flexibility at that time. Make it a loan, and they've gone, okay, you can have a loan, but 3 million is the fee.
Yeah.
I mean, again, relatively low risk, the option in there. I think that it's just being clever and smart again, rather than just rushing out and signing someone that you don't know if it's going to work out, you don't know if it's going to fit. Everything has been, I think it's, people are saying it's the best transfer window that we've had in years, or maybe ever, because since transfer windows were actually a thing.
Yeah.
It's hard to disagree, really, because they've done some fantastic business. They've brought the players in. We've mentioned the injury issues. But if you don't sign players like that, they're not going to sign for Blues, ultimately. Yeah.
I mean, I think people have pointed to one of the windows that Steve Bruce had when he was here.
I think that might have been me, but I've actually confused two of them.
It's very different circumstances. Well, think of the money we had to spend then and the situation we're in now.
Yeah.
I think this is far more impressive from a transfer window point of view. The only thing that was missing was an out-and-out striker.
But I don't hate that, because they haven't gone out and panicked and bought the wrong striker. And ultimately, that everyone would have gone nuts if we'd have gone out and signed the striker, and that they'd have loved it. But then he might not have fit, and it's a panic. Yes, they've had months and months to sort it. The right one hasn't come up. We'll go again. They have a look in January. Have a look at the end of the season. We brought Stansfield in.
Stansfield in, who had scored 2 and 2 for us.
His movements look great. His finishings look good. Well, spectacular at times. So you know, he might get us those goals.
Yeah. Well, he's so far. He's got 100% record.
In the league.
In the league, hasn't he? Yeah.
So. And we forgot to mention this. Oh no, we didn't. We haven't done it. We haven't done the podcast since. But still undefeated in the league.
Yeah. It's fourth in the league at the international break. I mean, that is beyond. One of the chats I work with, he's a Man City season ticket holder, and he messaged me and said, "This has gone better than you could have ever imagined, hasn't it?" It's basically beyond my wildest dreams, mate. It's like, it's to go in undefeated at the international break and fourth in the league with the best defensive record, or joint best defensive record, I think we've got. Pretty impressive.
If you enjoy our podcast, please don't forget to like, share and comment on social media.
And if the podcast platform allows it, please rate and review us.
Cheers, guys. So you were mentioning it just a second ago about the undefeated at the international break, going into it with a great defensive record. Eustace nominated for manager of the month. All is rosy.
And nominated for the next Rangers manager as well, apparently. Well,
yeah. Throw that in there.
The the newspapers. I can understand that a young manager doing well at a club is going to attract attention and attract admirers. And Eustace had admirers anyway. We know that he was linked to Swansea.
Yeah.
Turned them down.
Watford.
Linked to Watford, turned them down. Both, I have it on very, very good authority, due to family reasons. He didn't really want to move from the Birmingham area. And they would want him to be living within a certain radius of training ground. And he said no. When he was at QPR, he used to commute from Birmingham to London on a daily, pretty much a daily basis. So the likelihood of him wanting to move to Glasgow, if he was offered that job, which I'm not 100% sure I believe it or not yet, but I think it's very, very slim. I think he'd rather stay locally anyway. I think it's part of the reason why he took the job. I don't think he has any plans personally to want to leave, and why would he?
No, I completely agree with you. I think the way that things are at the moment, you're in a good league. Ultimately, I think if you look at the Europa Conference qualifiers, certain teams playing in that and playing some of the Scottish teams, the level of Scottish football the gulf between Scottish football and English football may be visible there and on display.
Yeah.
And I think Rangers is a massive club, but not in a great league. Is it a step forward? You're playing Europe.
Let's be honest, it is a step up and it is a step forwards.
Yeah. But it's
because they are Rangers, despite.
Yes. You know. No, I know. But you're in a league where you're playing like a competitive game once or four times a season or whatever it is. Do they play each other four times a season now?
They do.
Four old fan games. And it's once every couple of months or something, and then cup games. But the rest of the season, it's not great. The level's not great. I don't think that moving to Scotland is a massive step up from being on the doorstep of the Premier League, personally.
Yeah.
And I think Eustace currently is showing that he's got the potential of getting Blues promoted. I'm not saying this season. It's the project. And it's a long-term thing. But like you're close to all your family where you didn't want to move from before. You're on the doorstep of the Premier League. It's one step up.
The doorstep of the Premier League. We're fourth in the league after four games. And yeah. We're on the doorstep of the Premier League.
But
we're on our way.
Essentially, the Championship is just that. You're one step up from it, and we're performing well. Things are moving in the right direction. The project is working well.
Yeah, but Gary Cook wants Wayne Rooney, Chris. So what are we going to do about it?
Yeah. And we've been told that there may be some truth in those talks. Some truth that they are potentially interested in bringing their own man in.
Which you can understand anyway. I'm sure they had all these conversations before they even fully took over.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they've also spoken about stability and getting the club back on track.
One thing that you mentioned very early on in Gary Cook's video at the start of the season, or when they'd taken over, and that they didn't mention John Eustace. I think they mentioned Darren Carter, did they?
Darren Carter, yeah.
Yeah.
Who really should be potentially on his bike.
Right.
Maybe replace him with Wayne Rooney. Who knows? Or Colleen. I don't know.
Ultimately, they bought the club. They own the club. it's theirs to do what they want with. If they want to change the manager, then it's up to them. It's not the time to do it when you've just had a manager of the month nomination. You're sitting fourth in the table and a fantastic start to the season. The
players all love him.
Players love him. All the feel-good factor that's there with seemingly no negatives going on. Don't shoot yourself in the foot and make that change now. I think we spoke about it like before the season had started. It's like he deserved a chance. Mm-hmm. He's taking that chance. You can't do it now.
No, you can't. They'd be stupid to do it. Why would you want to replace him with Wayne Rooney? So I could completely understand them doing their due diligence in the background just in case Eustace was to go, or you know, there's a run of bad results and they decide that they want to make the change.
I think Brighton were mentioned in regards to that, weren't they? That they're always planning for that next manager.
Yes.
Always looking for who they're going to bring in.
Brentford are as well. I think there's numerous clubs, well-run clubs do that have something, a model in place.
It's a good idea because you don't want to lose a manager and find yourself up against it, like stuck with a caretaker manager and then panicking who you're going to bring in.
These clubs use the same system looking for players, right? So they already know if they're going to sell player X, they know that they can choose from player A, B or C to replace him for a much, for a smaller fee, and they can make money on him in the future. It's slightly different with managers. They might have to end up paying more for the next manager. Clubs, well-run clubs do that, but
does Wayne Rooney fit into that? Because it just doesn't suit what's developing there.
Did all right at Derby, even though they got relegated, but that was due to a points deduction. And
a lot of people suggesting that Rosinha was a major part in what was going on at Derby.
A lot of people say that he was the brains behind that operation. The Wayne Rooney thing as well, let's not forget.
You'd have to be the brains to be filled.
I once saw him in I think I messaged you that night. I was at a restaurant in Manchester called Wings with a few workmates, and him and Colleen, the new Birmingham City women's manager, was sitting down having a meal, and they went through about three bottles of red wine in the time that we'd sat down and gone through, you know, like we just had some starters and some main meals. They sat in the booth, so it was very hard to, because I was trying to take photo, but no, it was very, 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 very difficult. And Wayne Rooney sat there for the whole meal with his baseball cap on, just looking very sheepish in the corner.
But did he have his massive chopper chop lolly with him?
He did not. No,
he didn't.
No. So obviously there's a kind of a tedious link from Gary Cook to Wayne Rooney, because Cook was involved in the takeover tried to get involved in the proposed takeover at Derby when Chris Kirchner, who I think might be doing time now, I'm not sure, but he's definitely had some bad press ever since that failed takeover. I think he hasn't got a post to piss in, basically. So there's a link there between the two, and you can sort of, there's probably some credibility for the fact that it's come from John Percy as well, because I mean, he's definitely one of the journalists that has his finger on the pulse for this sort of stuff. He doesn't get very much wrong at all. But fuck no, like, please, if you're going to do it, and I don't want you to do it, please have a proper think about it. Because I don't even see it from the point of marketing and brand awareness. I don't see how he'd make that big of a difference.
You see, I said to you, I think that's the only point that I could see it being an option, that Sky News would be jizzing themselves over it. Birmingham bring in Wayne Rooney. Wayne Rooney's Birmingham City. I'd fucking hate it. We're already getting Tom Brady's Birmingham
Wayne
City.
Wayne Rooney's
moment.
Birmingham City blue noses. Undefeated.
Undefeated. No luck. But it's... That's the only place that it makes sense. But that doesn't make sense if the football doesn't make sense. Mm. And if you're not performing on the pitch, it's pointless having someone in charge that's... It just makes no sense.
Well, it seems to have gone quiet again now. There seemed to be an indication from... I don't know if it's Brian Dick that wrote the article, if it's Alex Dick and maybe one of the two, that John Eustace might actually get a new contract. We'll see if that does actually happen. I'm not convinced myself. I think they'll probably wait this out and see if we keep up these performances and these results.
See, I'm going to jump in there and I'm going to say, oh, I think he does deserve a new contract anyway. I think after his performance last season, keeping us up, and the start that he's had to this season, I'm not saying go mad and throw bucket loads of cash at him, but an improved deal on what he would have signed to begin with, I'd be quite happy.
I'd go for an improved deal and then just tag an extra year onto to it.
Yeah,
you know,
show a bit of commitment from him and a bit of a commitment from the club to each other and make the project a thing for the future.
And I think the players are behind him. I know the players are behind him. I don't think that's in question at all. I think a lot of the players have actually come in have wanted to come and play for him.
Yeah. There's been a few mentions, haven't there, in the interviews with players about meeting the gaffer and yeah, really getting
and
behind
I
what he's
Deion
saying.
Deion Sanderson is a big fan of his. Obviously, they work together at QPR as well, so there's obviously a little bit of a connection there. But yeah, let's hope that's put to bed for now. I don't really want to be seeing, because it can cause unrest, whether it's an article about Eustace or an article about a potential incoming manager. We can't stop it from happening. No, there are people that can stop this from happening, but those people aren't going to stop it from happening. But let's just hope nothing else comes out and they can concentrate on a, you know, continuing our good form and staying in the top quarter of a top, of the table on the doorstep of the Premier League.
Well, it's that time of the week again.
Wagner of the week.
Well then, Chewie, who's your Wagner of the week? No, stop it there. Competition time. I'm going to throw competition time in now before I get your Wagner of the week, because...
You do then. Well, I have a think because I'm not prepared for it.
So we've got this competition running. This is part three. If you've skipped through Wagner of the week, you've missed it. So my nomination for Wagner of the week is Lee Malin from Garrison Coffee, who's sponsoring the competition, giving away loads of goodies. And here's part three of the question and what we want you to do. So part three, your third keyword is Wagner. Add that to the other keywords, and the order that we want is in the name or the phrase of the t-shirt that Frankie Goes to Hollywood used to wear in the 80s. So there's a t-shirt, the other two keywords, and Wagner. And then what you need to do is you need to email that key phrase to win@wearebirmingham.co.uk. Then you're in the draw. We'll announce the winner next week and contact them. And Lee, you're my Wagner of the week for sponsoring the competition. So cheers, mate.
Thanks very much, Lee. But my Wagner of the week is going to go to the Mace Consulting Construction Group for saving the day.
Oh, good shout.
With regards to, obviously, Buckingham going into admin, and there's a little bit of concern about the stadium not getting finished. Now it looks like it's back on track and they've started work already. So, yeah, heroes.
I'm not sure whether it's back on track in terms of time scales. I think
building is back.
But yeah, I can't wait for it to be finished. It's a great shout for a Wagner of the Week.
Right then. Watford. Saturday. What are we saying?
I'm actually a little bit gutted because I'd got my ticket. I was good to go. And actually double booked the weekend. Not realising that it was my daughter's first birthday weekend. As well as my missus's father. I was going to say father-in-law, but we're not married.
It kind of is.
But it's his 70th birthday as well. So there was a weekend booked, and then the news that I mentioned earlier as well all just sort of meant I can't go. So it's a family weekend for me. I'm not going to get to go to the game. And you've just told me earlier on that Watford are looking a bit shit this season.
Well, they are firmly in the bottom half. Oh, look, very familiar. They're sitting 18th at the moment.
Oh, we know how that feels.
Just like home. one win, two draws, two losses. Last time out, drew 3-3 with Coventry. Our record there is not good. I don't think we've won there for about 15 years or something like that, potentially.
It was my first away game, Watford was. Playoffs.
Luton was my first away game. I think we lost 1-0 and Andy Gosney was in goals. That was a long time ago.
I'm just going to say on this point, actually, shout out to Steve Keegan if you're listening, mate, because he worked with my sister. And when I was too young to go to away games on my own, and he took me on the coach. What a legend. Really appreciated that. Because it was a...
Did we win?
I think we drew when we were there. Because it was the second leg was the one. Chris Holland penalty in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah.
I can't remember the result from the first. I think we drew. But yeah, good memories of a good time. Yeah, cheers, Steve. Thanks. But yeah, back to this season and the present.
2023, yeah. I look at that Watford squad and some of the players I don't know, but you know they're normally full of quality, their squads, which is why they spent a lot of time going up and down, up and down. Managed by Valerian Ismail, who I think was recently manager of West Brom for a little while.
Was that the Barnsley one?
He was at Barnsley before, yeah. I think he played in England for Crystal Palace when he was a kid. I mean, we're talking a long time ago now. I think it's just another one that's really hard to call for me because I don't think we have a good record there. I think ultimately they've got quite a lot of quality. I never feel like we come back from an international break in particularly good shape. I don't mean physically. I feel like we have a fairly bad record coming back off international breaks. I don't know why that's in my head. Maybe it's recency, something to do with just recency bias. I don't know, but I don't know what to call here. I don't know who's fit. I'm assuming that most of the players that were injured are now ready to go again. So Laird's back.
Yeah. Great. I think we were expecting that him and Dembele would be after
Tyler Roberts must be back now. Although he got a second injury, didn't he?
I think that the three of them are good to go. And it might just be George Hall that's out for a little bit longer.
Yes, hamstring. Ollie Burkle have had a few training sessions now with the squad. Obviously, we've had Jordan James and Bakuna have both been away. Anybody else been away, or was that it?
Nico Gordon.
Well, yeah, he's on loan, isn't he? But yeah, we should mention that actually.
Shall we? Do you want to do a quick new section?
Oh, it's Loan Watch.
There we go. So guess what this is about?
I think it's Loan Watch.
It is Loan Watch. So I'll have a quick recap of some of the players that we've got out on loan at the moment. Tate Campbell, injured, hasn't played. I think he got injured the week he'd signed for Bromley, and he's been out with a hamstring ever since. Josh Williams obviously moved to Cheltenham. I think he played in their last game where they got pumped by Bristol Rovers 4-1. Zach Gcock has played two games for Gloucester City. They won 1-1-0. He kept a clean sheet, and the second one they lost 1-0, and he scored an own goal, which I don't know why I find that so funny, but it's moderately amusing.
What about the guy that got us onto this topic, Nico Gordon?
Yeah, newly capped monster at international.
Got sent off on his, not internationals, got sent off on, was it his debut?
Debut for Solihull, yeah. And then I don't think he's played since. Hasn't been in the squad once and then not appeared. Obviously fit enough to travel to Montserrat and play against, but he travelled to Barbados, I think, and I think they're playing Barbados, and he's played a couple of games over there now, so he's a full international, apparently, along with Lyle Taylor.
And Lee Bowyer.
Managed by, yeah, Lee Bowyer.
Sorry, mate, did I steal your thunder there?
it was a free-for-all, yeah. Mate, so it's absolutely fine.
We were saying the other week that he was probably still just fishing somewhere in France, but apparently not.
Well, considering he's on like Montserrat, which is essentially like a Caribbean island, I guess you can do a bit of sea fishing, can't you? Yeah,
probably not many carp in there though.
No, he can catch himself a nice big fucking shark or something. I don't know. He's got experience. I'm sure he'll be all right with a bit of sea fishing. Just don't go to the exclusion zone where they had all the volcanoes and stuff, because you probably want to avoid that area.
Stay safe.
Caught me off guard that, because I had no idea Lee Bowyer was a Montserrat manager at all. I only knew that Nico Gordon was playing for them because he posted some on Instagram, and I thought, international duty? Who the fuck are you playing for? I just sort of tracked it down. Right, looks like it's Montserrat. Because I think initially, obviously, Lyle Taylor
scored a free kick in that game, didn't they?
A lovely free kick, yeah. Actually. I don't know. Good luck for him. I mean, I don't know what their... I mean, it is an international, isn't it? It is, but you know, I'm not sure that you can expect to achieve much beyond that.
Shall we wrap up Loan Watch there and get back onto that? Right.
Let's get back to Watford.
Cheers, Tamworth Joe.
Oh, it's Loan Watch!
Right, back onto Watford then.
Yeah, so my prediction for Watford is I don't have a fucking clue, to be honest. It's been 2 weeks since Millwall. We should have a few players back. We should be stronger. The performance has got to be better, even if the result isn't. I think it's very tough to call Watford on their own patch. Obviously, they thumped QPR in that first game 4-0. So they've got goals in them. They scored three against Coventry. I think they're probably still fairly loose at the back. So potentially I'm going to go for a score draw. I'm going to go for another 1-1, I think.
Scorer?
I love these thinking moments when you ask me this.
Sounds great on the podcast. My missus listens to this to fall asleep.
These people just have to wait. I don't know. I'm going to go with, Keshi Anderson. I think he deserves a goal. He was great against Millwall, I thought.
Yeah.
Deserves a goal.
I am actually going to get some background music for when...
SU75 Minutes Anderson, as I like to call them now. But anyway, carry on. Mate,
absolutely. We forgot to mention that, but he was absolutely done. he was on FIFA when players been running around just holding the sprint button and they can't...
And they're in red, yeah.
Can't move anything. they're running, but they're just walking. I'm going to get some music so that when you start thinking, it just plays. So, obviously, 4-0 Blues. Stansfield hat-trick.
Oh, nice.
And you know what? Keshi Anderson. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Deserves one. Does deserve one.
Keshi goal.
Then, obviously, after Watford, Tuesday night, we travel to Preston.
Top of the league, Preston.
Yeah, great start to the season. I actually thought their manager deserved manager of the month because no parachute payments and whatever there. But
he's very good. They play such nice football as well. I personally think. Obviously, he started off the Plymouth Argyle Revolution as well.
Now, just obviously, we'll only have a quick talk about it because anything can happen between now and then. But I actually think that that's going to be more the type of game that suits us because we'll be happy to let them have the ball, as we've talked about. We'll allow them the ball in some areas. Press them. Press them in those areas. Try and cause some fuck-ups and benefit on them. And I'm going to go for 4-0 Blues, obviously. And I'm not going to name the scorers.
So I think we'll lose against Preston. It's very hard to predict after, you know, because we don't know less about it than the Watford game. So 1-0 Preston, just because I can't be asked thinking about who's going to score.
No.
for us.
Fair enough. I'm going to that as well on the Tuesday night. So it's going to be a long drive home. I just hope that we've got the performance. That's all I'm asking for.
Tuesday night.
Just turn up.
And then should we just pre-warn people that next week's podcast may be recorded or partially recorded from the inside of my current car, which will soon be my old car because I'm coming to England to pick up my new one next week.
No one cares.
And I'm coming over for work and I'm coming for the QPR game. So that's what I'm really coming for. But I've timed it all perfectly. So I can pick up my new car, do some work, and then come to the QPR game, then go. I've got an event that I'm doing on the Monday as well.
But ultimately, next week's podcast is probably going to be recorded in your car or on a ferry. Or both.
Yeah, or maybe a hotel room. It just very much depends on what we can get sorted.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to pay for the premium Wi-Fi on the boat if we're doing it on the ferry.
That's fine. Dirt cheap.
I can technically get the company to expense it, so it's fine.
It is for work, obviously.
Yes.
So safe journey for you, obviously, and I'll probably see you next week. For everyone else, safe travels down south, safe travels up north. Enjoy the games, and until next week, keep right on.
Keep right on.